As people may know, at Genio, we operate on three different levels. We use innovation funding as a way of trying to deliver some different ways of working and of learning. We provide some leadership and learning opportunities so that we're able to support the projects to be successful. And then the third element then is we gather evidence and we measure impact. And today's session is really focused on that particular piece of our work of gathering evidence and measuring impact. And we want to talk to you about some of the findings and some of the evidence that we have gathered that we hope will be useful to you today. We've also compiled a report of what we're going to speak about today, and that will be available to you as you go out. I suppose one of the issues about gathering evidence is that there's a question: at what point do you stop or start gathering evidence and start doing things? And I think for us, in terms of the kind of work that we've been trying to do, it is impossible to gather evidence in a vacuum. So on some level, you do actually have to break the eggs and start doing it. So that's always one of the challenges, because for some people, they're saying to us, we need more evidence before we start to work in a different kind of a way. And yet, you can't really get the evidence until you start working in a different kind of way. So there is that kind of a conundrum, that chicken and egg that's there. So a lot of the people we've been working with over the last 4 or 5 years are people who have broken the eggs and who've started to make that particular change. So in terms of the format we're going to take, we've allocated about 15 minutes per speaker. And at the end of each presentation, we'll allocate a few minutes for a couple of questions, and then I've allowed a half an hour at the end, or as much as required, if people want, you know, for a much wider and more fuller discussion as we do it. But just by way of introduction, going back to that point I was making, there is a demand for more evidence about moving to a new way of working. However, against that, there's an awful lot of evidence there that is sort of saying that the way we currently work isn't really working, that it's broken. And I was sort of saying, well, where do I get sources for that? So I was reading this report and said the cost of delivering the current service is high, and even with the inefficiencies that are there, or even with more efficiencies, the costs will still remain very high. With the increasing demography and the pressures, it is impossible to meet that increasing demand within the current model. Resources are not allocated according to the need, or are they linked to outcomes? And the achievement of personal outcomes are not compatible with services that are delivered in group settings. And, you know, on page 160 of the Value for Money report in 2008, that's what we found. So there's very, very clear evidence that says what we currently do ain't working. I remember a very wise person one time saying to me when I was trying to be a family therapist, one of the questions I had to families is, tell us what you've tried that hasn't worked, and can we just stop doing that? And that of itself can be a great motivation for change. So there's very clear evidence that the status quo doesn't work, and it's published in publicly available material. So if someone's saying to me, where's the evidence for the new stuff? I'm saying, well, it's emerging, but the evidence for what we do is really, really robust and strong. And then, so internationally then, different countries are more ahead of the curve than we are here. And you sort of see, well, what are they saying about this more individualised, this more community-based way of working? And Monsell in 2007 was sort of saying that overall, there's better outcomes for people when they move from institutional to community settings. I think most of us actually believe that. And also that there's no evidence that community-based models of care are inherently more costly than institutions. Once the comparison is made on the basis of comparable needs of individuals and comparable quality of care. So moving to the community is not about a yellow pack. It's not about something that is not of quality. It's something that's absolutely matched to the individual needs of individuals. And that study said that to do that isn't more expensive. It did sort of say, though, that in moving to the new model, that you pay attention to some really important stakeholders. So it's really important in their report they spoke about staffing, about staff training, and really focusing on the needs that people have. And certainly in our work, we would also say that it's really important that you focus on the needs of the individual and of the families as well. So that if you give attention to those things in making the movement, the international evidence is saying that working in this way is a better way of doing business. and delivers better outcomes. So I just said, in terms of some opening comments, I'm going to leave that with you. We have some really interesting papers for you today. My colleague, Dr. Fiona Kyo, is going to talk to you about some of the work that we've conducted within Genio over across 54 projects. Following that then, Dr. Richard Wynn from the Work Research Centre is going to talk us about the evaluation that they conduct on our behalf of a number of projects that are supporting individual opportunities for young people. And then finally then, Professor Roy McConkie, who we've heard before, is going to talk to us about the latest update and uplift of data from his further study that he's been conducting on our behalf.